afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Addis, to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events for Tuesday, April 7th, 2015. Good afternoon, Al.
Hello, Melody.
Oh, exciting, exciting day.
What's so exciting about it? Huh?
We're breathing. That's an exciting day. Anytime you could do that, it's a good day. It's a good day here at Discount Gold and Silver. A lot of people are taking advantage of our low, low prices, quality product, and our terrific service. And so it was a good day here, as it is every day here at Discount Gold and Silver. People know who to purchase their gold and silver from. So I encourage those folks that haven't or need to add to accumulate, give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. Gold today, down $5 at $1,209. You have silver down 11 cents at $16.96. Platinum was down 3 at $11.77. And palladium, $771. And, of course, with gold down a little bit, actually, with it only being down 5 bucks, you have the USDX trading up 74, quite strong, up 74 at 97.85. Even crude oil was up 184 at 53.98. And the paper markets today just continue to move on like we're living in a world
of market manipulation.
Of market rigging.
Where the government is here not merely to help you, they're all here to manipulate you.
Yeah. Huh? The Dow was up 72 points at 17,953. The NASDAQ up 15, 49.32. And the S&P up 4 at 2,085. Excuse me. The 10-year yield, 1.90. Of course, the euro was down almost a full point, 96.96 at 108. And even though the European markets were closed yesterday, they came back with a bang. So, you know, hey, it doesn't really matter what goes on or how it goes on. You had the Germany up 1.3%. London was up almost 2%. The Asian markets were all up almost 1% or more. So the world is a happy place to be, Al.
Well, I agree. You know,
don't worry.
Half empty or half full, or is it half nonsense? It's, you know, I mean, there's the question. When they talk to you about, is the glass half empty or is it half full? The more important question is, what is in the glass? All right? If it's a bunch of BS, I don't know if I care whether it's half empty or half full. If it's BS, it's, you know, a glass of BS. I don't need it. What about the content of the glass, Melody? Not the quantity, the content. Huh? Who's talking about that?
Huh? Well, you know, it's interesting. It's because you're right about as far as the content. I mean, you have central banks, you have governments that come out and they produce these numbers, and some of them are extremely exaggerated, both to the upside, and then you have our numbers like the job report on Friday that probably shows a little bit more reality, or maybe it doesn't, but it also allows her to get out of her rate increase come June. So, you know, is there a reason?
Janet Yellen
coming out of her rate increase. So it's even the news that the central banks provide and what governments provide, they're really not, there aren't good numbers. The only thing that supports any good numbers are the numbers that we're seeing in the stock markets. And those numbers wouldn't be there without the assistance of the central banks. So people's retirements, people's, all their investments are all based on central banks. No fundamentals. Forget the fundamentals. It's all driven by the central banks. So
I understand, and it's not just driven. I mean, when people talk about central banks, we talk about central banks, we think in terms banking should be some sort of I don't know that anybody believes it's an honorable profession, but you would think that's what it's supposed to be. And there should be some people with you know, solid educations and firm convictions and high sense of ethics and morals, and they should be deciding who gets to borrow and who doesn't get to borrow. And we tend to think that way about the central banks. But what everyone should recognize is the central banks, they know it's not a place where you and I store our money. Mm-mm. It's a place where they print pieces of paper. They have a vested interest in maintaining their little bracket, right? It's like a mafia outfit. They want to maintain their territory. They got a territory. It's the United States. That's for the Federal Reserve. They try to extend beyond that. But there's other central banks in Europe, and each one has their own little territory. But they function like criminal enterprises insofar as they don't really – you don't go to the central bank and deposit your funds. You don't go make a deposit of gold or silver or whatever into your account. What their business, they have a vested interest in maintaining the fiat currency. And they're going to tell you this is good stuff. Hey, you can't get enough of that fiat currency, even though anyone who looks at it knows they all the fiat currencies blow up generally in about two generations. You can get them anywhere from 40 to 70 years, I guess, on average. They last about that long. We're into that range where, in theory, the dollar is about due to expire. It might last another 10, 15 years, for all I know, but it's not going to be there for your grandchildren. There will be a different kind of currency. And everybody knows this, but the Federal Reserve is going to try to protect its turf, protect its power, protect its profits. And it's part of the reason they have, given that they have a vested interest in bamboozling people and telling, oh, don't get any gold or silver. Here's the real McCoy, a piece of paper with some signatures on it. That's money. That's what we're talking about. That's the real money. Oh, bunk. It just isn't true. And the moment is going to come, although nobody knows when, but the moment's going to come when we're going to have to face the truth. Federal Reserve doesn't want that moment to happen anytime soon. I do. It'll be difficult. It'll be painful. It'll be the sort of thing where everyone will suffer, including me. But I will have the satisfaction of seeing and knowing that however difficult it is for me, there are people in positions of power that are all of a sudden going to find their wealth disappeared. And I will sit back and I'll say, ha, ha, ha. Even while I'm whining and crying about however much trouble I have in my own life, I'll still have the satisfaction of knowing that those rich and powerful have lost their assets. So, you know, is the glass half empty or half full? I will get, or at least half hilarious. Is the glass half hilarious, Melody? Is it, you know?
It's half something. But, you know, what's interesting, too, is, you know, all these central banks, I mean, they are running out of things to pull out of their sleeves. And, I mean, even the agreement with Iran, I mean, you have investors that are beginning. It's all about what they can pull out of Iran. I mean, Iran has large natural resources, and their population is a fairly well-educated one.
Yep.
So, you know, it's, you know, what is this really all about? I mean, it's just like even opening up Cuba. Yeah, I mean, there's not a whole lot there. They do have resources there and so forth. But they need these places in order to do this, their bidding and so forth. And, you know, maybe they need these countries to extend. You know, I'm not saying it's a major part of it, but perhaps it is a little piece of their puzzle to get to drain one more drop.
I don't know if that's true. I don't know that that's true exactly. That might have something to do with the way they think about Cuba, but I think the government's just going broke, and they can't afford to get involved in every trouble spot on the face of the earth, and so they're trying to play nice with some of these places and just say, look, you stop messing with us, we'll stop messing with you, and maybe the whole thing isn't going to blow up in our faces. Where are we doing well? You know, I talked about this, I think, yesterday a little bit. In the past, in the Bush administration, G.W. Bush, and now Obama administration in these, 14 years? When has the United States lost as much power, prestige, wealth, everything, ever in American history as we have in the last 14 years? Ever happen? Anything ever come close? I don't think it even happened during the Great Depression. We had a lot of trouble, but I think we still maintained our power was presumably growing.
Well, you didn't have the world as it was.
Well, I understand that.
You can't compare the
world. I understand, but just the same, from a political perspective, we're having a lot of trouble. And we talked about it. I think we talked about it yesterday, the problem with Hillary Clinton, for example. She doesn't love this country. All right? I can't imagine that there's anybody who's listening to this program who can imagine Hillary Clinton tearing up when she hears the Star Spangled Banner, the national anthem.
Do you?
Right?
Do you?
Sometimes. And, and compare that back to Ronald Reagan. You had the impression, right or wrong, you had the impression that Reagan loved this country. I don't think anybody can point to that for Hillary. Rudy Giuliani, he said, look, the problem with Obama, this goes back 3 weeks or so ago, and he was exactly right, he doesn't love this country. Obama doesn't love this country. I don't think Bush did either. I think Bush regarded the presidency as an 8-year-long panty raid. Right? I don't think he ever got in, understood what he was doing. I don't think he ever really gave a damn about what happened to this country. He was just doing what Dick Cheney told him to do. I don't know. That's an exaggeration and probably not entirely true. But it would be nice to get somebody in a position of power in this country who actually cares about this country. Not fake. I know we'll probably get fake. But I can't even imagine Hillary faking it. You know, show me a photograph. I mean, there's a woman. I'm not sure she knows how to cry.
I'm not even sure she's going to have a major play in the election. I just don't think. She's just got way too much bank.
There's too much stuff going on.
I've been saying it for years.
I don't think she's going to make it to 2016. I don't think it's going to happen. But there's a lesson to be learned here. And it goes back, I think we talked a little about it yesterday, but just the same, the Constitution says you got to be born in this country before you can run for president. A lot of people believe Obama was born in Kenya. All right? Got Ted Cruz. He wants to run. He's born in Canada. Cruz may be the best candidate the world's ever seen. I don't know. But there's a point to having candidates that are born in this country. And the point is, they probably love this country. When you bring somebody in from another country, it is inevitable they've got a kind of divided loyalty. And they may like this country and say, it's pretty cool. But do they love it? Do they make their eyes, they hear the national anthem and their eyes fill with tears? I don't think so. It's not, I won't say it's impossible, but I don't think it's as likely. I think there's a point. You got to have those candidates born in this country because they need to love this country and they'll do what's right for it, or at least they have a higher probability. You're bringing in people born in foreign countries to be president of the United States. It's just imprudent. God, we've got 300 million people in this country who are born here. We ought to be able to find somebody who's a decent president. We ought to be able to find somebody who actually cares about this country. Not just a hustler, not just a con artist, not just a technician. I mean, Hillary, my God. Can you find a photograph of her? I've seen one when she was on, I don't remember, I think she was on part of the defense team associated with the Black Panthers back in the 1960s. I don't remember. She played a peripheral part. Got fired from it. She was going to law school at Harvard at the time, if I recall correctly, and I might not. But even then, she doesn't belong in the White House. She doesn't belong there. And if this country is dumb enough to elect another president who doesn't love this country, and that's the problem.
Well, Rand Paul today announced that he's running, and he promises to break up the Washington machine.
Oh, yeah.
His 2016 White House bid. So, think he'll be successful in breaking up the Washington machine?
No, I do not. reminds me of a headline I saw in the newspaper here in Dallas. They've got Harry Hines is one of the major boulevards. I haven't been over to Harry Hines in, I'll bet you, 10 years, maybe more, 15. I don't know how long. But Harry Hines was famous for, there's a section of it that's a red light district, and it's famous for prostitution. And I can remember this headline they had in the Dallas Morning Times, the Dallas Morning News, the Dallas Times Herald, I don't remember which one. Police crack down on Harry Hines' vice. There's a headline, you can roll that thing out every 3 years. You're not going to stop the prostitution. All right? You can claim you're going to stop it. You can make a headline out of it. You can say we're going to stop it. It's like stopping drugs. Nobody's really stopping drugs. And who is going to stop the Washington machine? All right. Rand Paul is going to clean up. You know, I applaud the idea. I'm all in favor of it. But it's one of those things where you're going to have to show me. Can you do that? Can Rand Paul do that? I sure hope he can. But
well, what's he going to do when Senator John McCain, he's going to seek re-election. I believe that is his, sixth term in office? So I don't think you can get rid of these career politicians, and
it's
you need to do that.
It's not about getting rid of the career politicians from my perspective. I mean,
part of
yeah,
it.
That may be a step in the right direction, but the problem is the political campaign laws that allow the
part
people
of it, yeah.
Congress, and it isn't just part of it, it's a big part. I'd say it's 70%. They are allowed to take bribes, and they call them political campaign contributions, but they're bribes. And everybody knows it, and if you give them enough money, you buy time, you can hand them a bill, say, pass this bill, they'll vote, they'll work for it. They'll work to get that bill passed. They'll broker it. They don't legislate, they broker. And they do it according to who gives them the most money. And this is a function of the political campaign contribution laws. They have to be changed. And if you can change that, if you can get all this easy money out of the Capitol building, out of the Congress and the Senate, we'll see an improvement. We'll see something happen that everyone is going to sit back and say, wait a second, that's a good thing. That's a good thing. There is no reason why your congressman needs $1 million to run for Congress. Truth of the matter, it can be done, especially in the internet age. Doesn't cost anything to put up a website and start telling people what you think. Videos on YouTube and so much and so forth. How much does it really cost to run one of these campaigns if you try to get the message out without having to rely on hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars, maybe millions of dollars, to get somebody elected? Got to get it back where the money is out of that political campaign contribution. The money's out of the political campaign contribution laws have to be changed where the money is extracted from Congress and the Senate, and it's minimized. All right, there's always going to be money there. I get that. There'll always be bribes there. I'm not saying we're going to clean the whole place up, but you have to change the law. All right? And if you do, get the lobbyists out of Washington. My God, there's probably more lobbyists there than there are bureaucrats. And
that's what you do when you lose your term. If you lose, you know, you get kicked out of your office and your term, you become a lobbyist.
Yeah, I know. And that's not just a joke. That's
I know it's not. It's very
and
true.
You got in the military, and what do they do? You're a general or whatever. You get out, you go to work for the Defense Department, or for a defense industry, manufacturing the devices that you've been buying as a general all these years. The whole thing, there are levels of corruption that are intolerable. I saw something where they lost something like $6 billion, one of the agencies recently. Oh, where'd it go? I don't know. Ooh. You know, how can that happen except in a corrupt environment? Let's take a break for some commercials. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. We'll be right back. Please stay tuned.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in an untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate in those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad-spectrum immune-boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Or take your chances with the bad boys. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free, 866-229-3663, or online, thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Are you concerned about prescription drug dependency to stay healthy? Are you worried that the cost and availability of your medications may put your health at risk? Perhaps it's time you consider a natural, safe, and effective way to deal with your health problems. If only you knew where to start. Start right here. Tune in to Herb Talk Live with herbalist Wendy Wilson every Tuesday and Thursday evening, 7 p.m. on AmericanVoiceRadio.com, where your healthcare options just became endless.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addisk here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. Programs brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver. 1-800-375-4188. What's next, Melody?
Well, an interesting thing happened on the way to Washington this morning. Actually, they had a power outage this morning. It struck much of D.C., including the White House. And there have been reports that there was a power plant. An explosion at a power plant. The White House does have lots of generators and so forth, but the areas throughout the D.C. metro areas, including the University of Maryland and College Park, they all went dark. Well,
you know, it's one of those things, ill wind that blows no good. They're shutting down parts of the government. Yay! I'm for it. Now, I'm not for explosions and bombing.
No, of course not.
But on the other hand, you know, again, is the glass half empty or is it half full?
Yeah. I'm not quite sure if they've made, they said a fire explosion in an electrical facility in southern Maryland appeared to be the source of the surge. They left some of the passengers in underground metro stations, halted elevators and office buildings. That would be a bummer. By 2:30, Homeland Security had said both locally and nationally, it appeared that terrorism was not an issue. Absolutely no link to terrorism.
Everything else is linked to terrorism. I don't see why that isn't.
Well,
I mean, some of the way they are treating almost anyone who walks around, if you wear a hoodie, you're a terrorist. I don't know what all they've got for profiling terrorists, but it's
but yet the real terrorism
bizarre, but in this instance they say no, it's not.
But real terrorism is not announced as terrorism.
No, not if yet. Depends on what you mean by real. I mean, you know, it's like the old saying, the winners write the history books, and the incumbents get to decide who the terrorists are. And they, whoever they are, they're not the incumbents. It's one thing we know. There's nothing terroristic being planned or perpetrated in Washington, D.C. There's any terrorists around there, out in the homeland or out in the heartland or someplace, but not Washington, D.C.
I don't know. A poor woman gets her head whacked off at her job and is considered workplace violence. Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, I know.
Come on. I mean, that's just one instance that comes to mind.
That goes another back ways, but that's back, three months ago?
Well, you know, it's probably a little bit longer than that, but there's been several.
We're talking about some Muslim on the job, some reasonably new convert to Muslim faith decided to chop somebody's head off.
But,
you know,
yeah.
I saw something where they expect there'll be more Muslims in the world than Christians by 2050.
Yeah.
That's possible, but it's just stupid if it is. There have been two studies, talked about it in the past a couple of times, two studies in England, one in England, one in Denmark. And the problem with the Muslim faith is that the Prophet Muhammad married his first cousin. And therefore, we've now had since 800 A.D., we've got, I don't know, 1,300 years of Muslims who seek to emulate the Prophet Muhammad by marrying their first cousins. And the net result is the Muslim gene pool has now been polluted with a higher incidence of birth defects, lower IQs, can't see in the dark, predisposition for mental illness. They are inbred. It is a Muslim gene, and it's been going on. They have been at it for several centuries. And the point behind that is, if the Muslim faith were valid, then why would the Muslim God strike down the Muslim people with this disability? And they're not going to just stop this next week and say, okay, no more marrying your first cousins. All right? Too late. The gene pool has been affected in a way that isn't going to be cleared probably ever. It's evidence to me, for me, it's the most convincing proof that the Muslim faith is not the one true faith. If it was, the Muslim God would not let that happen to the Muslim people. He might let it happen to the Christians or the Jews or the Hindus or the Buddhists or whatever, but the Muslims should be protected from the very problem that they're suffering from, and it is inherent in their faith, marrying their first cousin. You know, I don't think they're going to be that big. I don't think they're going to dominate the world or at least be more than Christians in the next generation or two. I think they've got too much trouble. And you all look at the Middle East, the whole place is unstable. You got a bunch of crazy people running around. And they really are. I don't think they can work together. I don't think they can come together,
you know what, Al?
And organize in the sense that Christians are able to, or even our Jews are able to. And
yeah, but
there's
you
a
know
kind
what?
Of chaos that's built into the Muslim faith that is hard to understand, hard to explain, but at least subjectively it appears to be there to me.
I get that theory, and I understand the chaos and so forth. However, on the other hand, look at our churches today. I mean, even look at some of the statements that the Pope says, and we've become a more tolerant. I mean, the churches are accepting everything. There's no voice. There's no. Everything. Everybody is just. Acceptance.
Oh, the whole thing is
I can almost see I can almost see the two religions merging.
No.
Not true Christians. No, I'm not getting that. But I could see maybe a part, a breakaway, possibly, or something. But look at our churches today. So by 2015.
Equal opportunity for beds.
Let me finish. So at 2015, who knows? what that might be like in 2015. But to say that it's going to be like it is.
This is 2015. You mean 2050,
2050,
I think.
2050. Mm. So when 2050 rolls around, it won't be like it is today with your separate groups, the Muslims and the Christians. I think there'll be something totally different by then, just because of the way our churches have become so soft.
I'm not even worried about
tolerant.
Until 2050.
I'm not going to be here.
I'm not worried about, I don't know, 2050. Yeah, right.
Anyway, let's come back to
say hello
the
to
modern
Buck Rogers. Those of you that are still here in 2050, say hello to Buck Rogers. I won't be here. At least I don't expect to be here, and it won't bother me a whole lot if I'm not.
Well, let's get on to the Treasury. Let's see what the Treasury debt has been frozen. 21 days on Friday, according to the daily Treasury statement for Friday, April 3rd, which was published by the U.S. Treasury on Monday, April 6th, that portion of the federal debt that is subject to a legal limit set by Congress closed the day at $18.1 trillion for the 21st day in a row. It is about $25 million below the current legal debt limit. And
who believes that? What we're talking about is the government hasn't gone any deeper into debt for 3 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that doesn't sound like much, but when you look at how deep they go into debt every year, I don't know what the number is and how to average it out exactly. But my point is, what is the probability that the government has not gone deeper into debt for the last 3 weeks? And for me, the answer is just about zero. I don't see that they're likely to have. There's debt they've gone deeper into debt. They're just not reporting it right now. That's all.
What Lou explained, he says, because in 2014 Congress enacted legislation that suspended the debt limit until March 15 and then reinstated it on that date at whatever level the debt had reached by then. So it's kind of like, well, we're going to have this debt limit, but you know, a couple months from now, we'll just increase it.
The truth of the matter is, it's not that. It's an interesting issue. It's kind of amusing. It's not that important. We are one of two nations in the world that have this kind of a debt limit. I can't remember what the other nation is, but it's a relatively small and not highly significant nation. The rest of them, they just run and gun. If they need to borrow more money, they borrow more money. It's not a big deal for them. And I think inevitably we're going to see this in the next little while, where they're going to terminate this debt limit. This debt ceiling is going to be terminated, and we will emulate the nations around the world and say, yeah, we need more, we borrow more. So how long that'll last remains to be seen. But this creates the illusion of accountability. It creates, we have a debt limit ceiling and we don't dare go higher because it's the law. And everybody, it's a bunch of crapola. You understand? It creates the illusion of accountability. It creates the illusion of responsibility in Washington. They're watching our dollars. They won't go over the debt limit. Oh, bunk. You know, we talk about it on this program on a regular basis. We're John Williams, shadowstats.com. He says real national debt's up in the neighborhood of $100 trillion. Government says it's $18 trillion. He says no. It's about $100 trillion. And Congressional Budget Office and economists, Lawrence Kotlikoff, they said that it's over $200 trillion, including unfunded liabilities. You know, they give us this illusion that they're being responsible, and the truth is they're nowhere near being responsible, and they're nowhere near being honest. And it's one of the reasons why I am so critical of the government, and I really believe that we're going to see a very difficult time in this country at some point in the near future. It's not just about the mathematics. It's about the morality. Something's going on that is corrupt, 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 corrupt. And it's just everybody just winks and, hey, here's how much money did you steal today? That is what's going to cripple this nation. It won't be the mathematics. It will be the institutionalized injustice and immorality that's taking place in high levels of power. Congress, the Senate, the courts, White House. I mean, who really has faith in these institutions anymore? I don't know anybody who really believes in that. I'm sure there are people who do, but they're hard to find. I mean, why do you vote for Republicans? Because the Democrats are even worse. Or, conversely, why do you vote for the Democrats? And the answer is because the Republicans are even worse. It's a perceptual thing. But who is voting for somebody because they're good? Who is voting for a party that said, that's an honorable party, that's an ethical party, that's a moral party, I'm going to vote for that party? No, you're not. I'm going to vote against the other bunch of thugs because they're a bigger bunch of gangsters than this one. We are inevitably, we seem destined to vote for the lesser of two evils the next election. Again, the lesser of two evils, and again, the lesser of two evils. You know, something's got to happen where we begin to get the better of two goods. How about we vote for the better of two goods? And we don't have that. We have two evils. Who's the bigger evil? Let's vote against that one. You may think it's the Republicans. I might think it's the Democrats. I don't know. But we're still, you know, which gang shall we vote in? The Bloods or the Crips? Or the Mexican Mafia or who? Italian Mafia. Who gets to be, who is the least threatening to our nation? What else, Melody?
Well, let's go ahead and move on. And you know what, personally, I do think the numbers make a difference. People should be aware. They should understand these numbers. And I agree with you. It is the morality. There isn't. And there's what's right is wrong. What's wrong is right. I mean, and these are all symptoms. These are all where we are at the stage of the game. And when you look at these numbers, it's to help people understand that it's true. These numbers don't matter. They're going to continue to get bigger and bigger and bigger until it does collapse, because there's no way we'll be able to exchange, to replace. Because what do we have to, what's guiding us to bring in anyone that has the morality, that knows right from wrong? And it is our religious faith. We have no, I mean, there's nothing to hold account. There isn't any guidelines for accountability in this country anymore. Sure, there's a group that, you know, is fine and dandy. But I mean, so we can't turn this around. We need to have some sort of religion and bring God back into this country.
Well, we'll bring him back.
People say, well, and there's people who say, well, you know, that, you know, hey, that was never, you know, you can take the prayer out of schools and this and that, and you know, they would have done it, and what difference does it make? I mean, this country has lost religion a long time ago. And
you regain it. It's the old saw, there are no atheists in foxholes. In other words, when they start shooting at you, everybody gets religion. All right. When the trouble is knee deep or waist deep or deeper than that, people get religion. And that's, unfortunately, they won't get religion because it's the right thing to do. They'll get it because they are desperate. And we're headed for times, in my opinion, where people are going to confront that desperation. They're going to sit back and say, holy cow, this is painful. This is not fun. This is not what I expected for my life. I better get down on my knees and start praying. And when things are bad enough, they will. And we'll have a religious revival.
And
it'll carry us for
a
while. And then things will start to go pretty good. And people start to get fat and happy and dumb and self-serving. And then it'll all go down the pipe again. It's just
cycle.
Part of life. It's a cycle that goes on. It's been going on for thousands of years. And it will undoubtedly continue a while longer. Let's take a break. We'll take some more commercials. Melody and I will be back on Financial Survival in just a moment. Please stay tuned.
If you have have a heart condition and emergency rooms and medical doctors are not an option, you need our emergency heart attack kit. 5 concentrated liquid formulas enter the system in 60 seconds to protect your heart muscle, strengthen heartbeat, increase circulation, relieve pain, and make breathing easier. When seconds count, you want all the help you can get with our emergency heart attack kit. Easy to use and portable in a 1-pound compact kit for your purse, briefcase, or car. Call Apothecary Herbs now for your emergency heart attack kit toll free. 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it: to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. Invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cedarstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver. What's next, Melody?
Well, we're going to change our 2015 special around a little bit today. The special for 2015 will go through the end of the week, as long as we can hold it at these levels. If there's any major change in the gold prices, either up or down, we will adjust the package. We have 4 quarter-ounce American Gold Eagle coins. That's 4 quarter-ounce American Gold Eagle coins. 1 Swiss franc. That's almost a fifth of an ounce. So this package includes fractional gold pieces and 20 one-ounce silver eagles. The whole package is 2015, and that includes all your shipping charges, and that is a great little special for fractional pieces. You have American gold, you get 1 piece of foreign gold for those foreign troops, and 20 silver eagles at $2,015, and they should give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188.
Okay, I've got an article here from the Washington Times. IRS ignoring 60% of taxpayers' calls as deadline looms. April 15th is tax day, folks. What is that? 8 days from now, a little over a week. And here's the article. IRS Commissioner John Koskinen said Tuesday that service at his agency has gotten so bad that they are ignoring more than 60% of the taxpayers' phone calls during the tax season. You know, down on the bottom of your on your form, it says, if you have any questions, call, and they have an 800 number there you can call. Well, the IRS is too busy to answer your calls. Now, this is really interesting, because a lot of people will legitimately not know exactly what to do with their income tax. And some people may do nothing, or they may do something wrong. And if they underpay and the government comes back, comes knocking on your door a year or two from now and say, what did you do? And say, look, I don't know, I did the best I could. I tried to call the IRS to get some help, but here is the story from the Washington Times, said they were ignoring 60% of the calls. They didn't take my call. I couldn't get through. I couldn't get any instruction. It's just such an for me, this is just an extraordinary story. It opens the door for a lot of people who are going to just, they're not going to file. And that won't be something new. There's a good chance that at least 50 million people who have jobs are not filing their tax returns. And it could be much more than that. Right? But 50 million, strong probability that's a reasonably accurate number. And if it's not, it's because it's too conservative. The number may be much greater than that. What are they going to do? They don't have prison cells for everybody. And in fact, with the IRS, I know from studying it a little bit in the past, right now the IRS only files about 1,000 criminal complaints a year. Out of 180 million people who have jobs, there are 1,000 people that are taken to court criminally by the IRS. A lot of people go in civilly or administratively, but criminally, where you might be facing jail time. It's like playing Russian roulette with a gun that has a cylinder on it that's just got one bullet in one of the chambers in the cylinder, and there's a thousand chambers in the cylinder. Nobody wants to play Russian roulette, but the odds are in your favor. So when the IRS can't even answer the phone right now, it's just evidence, another evidence of how fragmented the system is right now, how dysfunctional it has become. It says the poor customer service is growing worse at the agency. Just a couple of weeks ago, Mr. Koskinen said that they were answering 43% of the phone calls, so dropping below 40% suggests things have deteriorated as the April 15th deadline nears. It may be that by the time we get to a week from now, you might have 80% of the calls aren't being answered. What is the people's responsibility if they can't get any assistance from the IRS? And the government's not giving the IRS enough money to do the job that it supposedly has to do. Republicans have cut it off. The government's going broke, and they are, I mean, I'm not complaining, believe me, I'm not complaining about this, but it's just evidence of the kind of nonsense we're in right now. Government's going broke, and what are they doing? They are throttling the IRS. If they didn't have enough trouble, this is just more evidence. It's just,
Well, if there was any other businesses in the country that couldn't return those many calls, you know, people should be fired. And, you know, things should be, you know, changed. I mean,
do you know why they're not returning those calls?
No.
According to some sources, the IRS is blaming Obamacare. They're saying because Obamacare has gone online now and people are threatened with fines and imposed by the IRS if they don't kick in and fund Obamacare, that the IRS has had to divert resources that would otherwise be answering the calls from taxpayers to deal with people who are concerned about whether they're going to jail if they don't pay for Obamacare. So that's their excuse du jour. The Obamacare ate their homework.
Well, you know, it is true. There's a lot of people who didn't think they'd have to pay extra on their taxes, and they thought they'd get these refund back, and now it's going to Obamacare, and all of a sudden their health insurance is increasing and all kinds of things going on. Again, it confirms all the lies that came out of the president in regards to Obamacare. But it's just like anything else, par for the course of anything that we do. Al, I've been telling you that I was upgrading my phone system, changing my phone system, and it's like I've been pulling my hair out trying to talk to people. They can't do it right the first time. You know, they want you to, they explain and waste your time telling you all these things that you don't want to know. And they treat you like, well, you know, you're old, so you don't know what the heck's going on. And all of a sudden, you know, they try to tell you all this. And it's like, hey, this
those
is what
whippersnappers,
I want, Don.
Those whippersnappers better not be calling me old.
It's like,
I'll hit them with my cane or my walker.
It's like they don't understand. It's this is what I want done. Do it. I don't care how you have to do it. Just do it. But business everywhere in this country anymore. It's like the bigger the company.
This is where you're making your mistake on this. Right now, business and service of the kind you're trying to get right now, it's based on the same idea we have with new math. It's not important that you get the right answer. What's important is that you get an answer and you feel good about yourself. And you're not letting these guys feel good about themselves even when they screw things up. And there's the problem. And this is the difference between the whippersnappers and the mature.
What it tells me is exactly where this country is at anymore, and even the world. I mean, it's just another sign. And I was talking to the Comcast guy, and he's telling me that the way all these, with the new technology and the cables are so old, connecting from and interconnecting with various companies, he says it's just a matter of time until something happens and you'll have these systems that go down. He says you can have something happen in New York and you can be affected in Ohio because all these connections are so tenuous as far as unable to keep up with the current technology how they're webbed all together with Verizon and different cable companies and so forth. They lease and release, and it was really kind of interesting. And again, the infrastructure of this country is so decayed, and as far as we are to be ahead, we truly are behind.
Well, we're going to have a problem, and when we do, they will have an economic problem, and it'll be reminiscent of the Great Depression, in my opinion. That's at least a probability, not a guarantee, but a probability. And if we get into those circumstances, what are we going to do for jobs? They're going to recruit things. They had the CCCs back when my dad was a young guy. And during the Great Depression. And he was in the CCCs for a while. He was conservation, what was it? I can't remember what it meant. Conservation Corps, something, I can't remember. Three C's, though. And they went out and they built parks and roads and one thing another like that. And they were glad to have a job doing anything. They got food and a place to stay and one thing another. And I don't know. We'll do the same thing when we are poor enough. Well, the nation has been, really takes a serious economic hit, then a lot of people are going to be glad to get a job swinging a pick, working a shovel, right? Rebuilding parks and streets and culverts and one thing and another, and bridges, and we will begin to rebuild our infrastructure, and we'll do it cheaply because everybody will be desperate for a job, or a lot of people will be desperate for a job during what may be a greater depression. We'll watch and see, but it's just frustrating. You look at these things, and I'm sure everyone in the audience, they have their own little pet peeves that they look at. They might not be the same ones that bother me, get to me, but we all have them where, why can't somebody do something sensible? We can see what's happening. I know there's some disagreement. Maybe we don't see perfectly, but I think everybody understands. We can see the problems headed our way, and is anyone going to do anything to deal with them? And the answer is nope. No, they're really not. They're just going to keep on pushing and pushing and kicking the can, until finally the whole thing blows up in our faces. Well, I believe we are out of time, Melody. Is that true?
We have about 15 seconds left.
Well, then we better say bye-bye and tell people 1-800-375-4188. Discount Gold and Silver. I want to thank all of you for listening to Financial Survival. We'll be back tomorrow. In the meantime, the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Frank, the producer. Bye.
Bye.
All night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay.
Ain't it sad?
Still, there never seems to be a single penny left for me.
That's too fast.
In my dream, I have a plan. If I
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family. Studies have shown that the farm soil we get our vegetables from is dead, meaning it is depleted of minerals. Sulfur is a mineral. Sulfur has been depleted from the soil, which means most people have been depleted of sulfur. Sulfur has been found to transport oxygen throughout the body. You need oxygen. You need organic sulfur. American Voice Radio Network has organic sulfur. Go to AmericanVoiceRadio.com and then to the Superstore to order your organic sulfur. It's your choice. Do you want to feel better or not? Don't forget to tune in to the Sulfur Hour Plus One on AmericanVoiceRadio.com Thursdays, 6 p.m. Pacific.
Unemployment insurance running out, jobs leaving the country. Many people cannot afford to eat or keep a roof over their head. Too many can do neither. Messiah's Branch has a mission church in Wichita, Kansas that helps the victims of this banker's economy, the American people, your neighbors. The mission is the last hope for so many Americans. We need your help to lift up the poorest of the poor. These are men, women, and children who once had homes, now in the street. They all need what you need. First aid, beds, food, clothing, and so on. You can send a monetary gift or a box of necessities to 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Or donate online by going to WichitaHomeless.com or simply call 316-619-4886. 316-619-4886.